What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Backstage Report Podcast here on Fightful Select. I'm going to try to provide some more opinions after I report these stories than I have in previous weeks. Now, if you're an aggregator, if you're taking one of these stories and you have any confusion over what's my opinion and what is the news that we are reporting, so to speak, just reach out to me. I'll clarify it for you. But boy, there was a bunch of stuff to get into this week. The lead story is the ROH revamp. Holy crap. So ROH held a meeting and informed all their talent and staff that they are released and that they will be paid through December 31st. However, if their contracts extend beyond the end of the year, they will be paid until March 31st. They're going to come back and they're going to have a new approach. From according to Dave Meltzer's reporting, it seems like they're going to be a super indie and not have a ton of people under contract and just use whoever's available. Now, this is a major change over the last decade plus of Ring of Honor, and there's a lot of broken hearts. There's a lot of hurt feelings there, but this is flooding the market with free agent talent as well, obviously. I was really, really flustered talking about this as I found it out last Wednesday, because there are like, I know like 15, 20 people in this roster and they're all good people. And there are some that already have plans in place that were one step ahead. There are some that were going to put in their notice ahead of this anyway, but everybody's surprised. Everybody I spoke to was surprised. They're taking the first quarter of 2022 off and they're coming back. I can tell you there's already been interest in a lot of these talents. There are a lot of people who inquired about what they should do, if they could work elsewhere, and they were told that they should contact Ring of Honor's Greg Gilliland, and they'll work something out to where they can figure this out and hash it out, which I would assume, my opinion, my assumption, that means they wouldn't be getting paid if they moved on elsewhere. So we've got a situation where people could get paid the next 2 to 5 months and continue to take indie dates and do the things that they were doing in general. There are some people that are on per appearance. There are some people that have full-on contracts. Now, I can tell you the Fightful content's going to be a bit awkward over the next couple of weeks. I dropped that interview with Roxy that we did shortly before this. I filmed an interview with the Beer City Bruiser and Brian Malonis just before this announcement, and I was going to release it today, this week, but I decided to put it on ice for maybe an extra week or so, maybe a little bit longer, because so much of it is just them speaking highly of ROH, which I do want out there. I do want people to know that Ring of Honor, during the pandemic, they treated people really, really well. This obviously came as a heartbreaker, so I got to kind of go through that, and we've got to adjust a lot of the articles that we were going to do because of it, because we're not plugging upcoming ROH stuff that much anymore. I mean, it's not going to be around. We're still going to do some stuff and talk to some Ring of Honor wrestlers. I'm trying to give them their space in that sense. If a Ring of Honor wrestler wants to talk to me about this shutdown, they will talk to me. And plenty of them have, but there's a difference in the DMs or texts and on YouTube for the world to see. You know what I mean? This is wild. It is a big change. It is a huge shift in the world of wrestling, and Ring of Honor went from, my opinion, 3 years ago. 3 years ago today, November 2018, they were the number two wrestling company in America. I don't even know how it could be disputed. Awareness, interest, buzz, ticket sales. They had an incredible roster. I think they were number two. You could argue New Japan was kind of pushing their way in, but they were right there in bed with Ring of Honor as well. Now they are behind Impact, they are behind AEW, they're behind WWE. Could argue they're behind MLW as far as buzz goes, because MLW is really good at keeping their name in the news and keeping people at least going, hey, what's going on over there? There wasn't a ton of that in Ring of Honor, and that's such a shame. I don't know what the future will hold for Ring of Honor, but there are a lot of people obviously upset. There are a lot of people. I pointed to the Beer City Bruiser as an example. At 40-plus years old, he had interest in from WWE, and he passed on that to re-sign with ROH in a per-appearance capacity, and then during the pandemic, they made him exclusive. He had bet on himself, and it paid off short-term, but now he's in a situation where That guaranteed income is not going to be there in this capacity. And it's like, where does he fit? Where do a lot of these people fit? Now, I got a lot of people saying, well, who's definitely going to get signed? Who's definitely going to head where? I mean, when you look up and down the roster, Brody King, Danhausen, Dalton Castle, EC3, Dragon Lee, Bandido, Flip Gordon, the Briscoes, Jay Lethal, Joe Hendry, Jonathan Gresham, Shane Taylor Promotions, the OGK probably. You look up and down this and you're like, okay, well, they're Roosh, they're all going to find places for sure. Roxy's going to find a place. A lot of that women's division is going to struggle, I think, to find full-time contracted work. And there's a lot of people that maybe other promoters have seen on ROH and they have their own distinct vision for, so to speak, that maybe are under the radar, so to speak. There's a lot of it. And then there's a lot of these people who won't end up anywhere that I said would be slam dunk signings elsewhere that, quite frankly, the market just won't be there for. But I do think we are headed towards another explosion of the indies, so to speak. I don't think it's going to hit like 2017 territory where, again, we were covering Evolve shows because there was so much interest in it and Flow Slam made everything so easy to see. But I think we are headed towards another explosion of the indies as people get more comfortable, even though maybe they shouldn't be, with going out and being around people and the vaccination rates increase. We're going to see a lot more people that are featured on a lot of these top-level indies because you've got the GCWs, the Warrior Wrestlings, the PWGs are back in swing. And it didn't seem like ROH was keeping any of those people from doing that work, but what a categorical shift. What a major shift in pro wrestling that we've seen. Well, speaking of, we talked to Roxy, who confirmed to us that after she signed her ROH deal, Sean Dean, who works as a wrestler and extras coordinator with AEW, had reached out about the possibility of her appearing for the show. By that point, she had already signed with ROH, but they did say that they had their eye on her, and that's when I reached out to AEW, they said that she wasn't going to be placed in like an integral role or anything, but maybe that's changed now. Maybe they look at her and they go, okay, we'll bring her in. We also learned more about how that deal got in place with Roxy. Prior to the pandemic, she had been planning on doing a tryout in conjunction with the relaunch of the women's division after Kelly Klein had exited. That would have resulted in one person getting a contract, but the tryout never happened because of the pandemic. And Jonathan Gresham, who had taken over a lot of the direction of the women's division, contacted her to get her info, and then Delirious contacted her to ask if ROH could book her, and she said that she saw that as a surprise, and she was just going for a tryout month before. And then at the tapings, Maria approached her and asked if she wanted to be in a tournament, and her contract offer happened shortly after. That full interview is up on the site now. But you got a feel for Roxy. I mean, she's obviously got her entire career ahead of her, but still, that's a bummer. But one person that doesn't seem like they're going to be getting a contract soon is Alberto Del Rio, also known as Alberto El Patron. This past month seemed to be time for the latest Alberto Del Rio saying he's going to go back to WWE thing. And I know it sounds ridiculous. I know it sounds stupid, but I still got to ask. I got to hit up WWE and I got to ask them, is he coming back, et cetera, et cetera. And I asked sources within WWE, and they have shot this down to me numerous times in the past. I feel like once a year over the last 3 or 4 years. And one source was very frank with us, and they said, could you imagine if we let go of some of the people we did only to bring him in? There's no fucking way that happens. That was the end of the quote. The last time that Fightful asked about Del Rio returning, I had several sources in the company say, I don't know why we would do that if Paige was still here. Why would we put her in that position? That seems like a really cruel thing to do. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, well, WWE does cruel shit all the time. Yeah, they ain't going that route. They're not going to hire somebody in the middle of catching a case. Now, I'm about to talk about Gable Stevenson, and I know a lot of people will say, oh, well, they're hiring Gable Stevenson. Well, there's a bit of a difference there. Gable Stevenson does not have a track record of doing this type of stuff and catching cases while in WWE. He is an Olympic gold medalist. And in the Gable Stevenson situation, which was suspicion of criminal sexual conduct, he and another person were released without charges. Now, I'm not saying guilty, innocent, any of that stuff. I don't know. It's just he was released without charges. Del Rio's about to go into a trial. Probably there's probably going to be more delays and stuff, but WWE ain't bringing him back. Gable Stevenson, by the way, was a shocking draft pick during the draft recently. Fightful learned that Stevenson was listed on internal run sheets as being drafted, which prompted a lot of surprised people when they received the itinerary, but it was not like a big secret backstage or anything. Stevenson wasn't at the venue when he was picked, but the sheet actually listed him as having an entrance, which clearly didn't happen. But again, WWE did want the surprise factor of the announcement, which is why he was omitted from the draft pool imagery. It was made clear to us, though, that there weren't imminent plans for Stevenson. He's going to finish his school year up and all that. A little more news from the draft. They did see their latest draft unfold. Veer and Shanky, T-Bar and Mace, Shotzi and Tegan, Natalya and Tamina, among others, were all split up in the draft. When people within the company pushed for several teams to remain together, we're told only AJ Styles and Omos didn't fall upon deaf ears, which WrestleVotes posted about several weeks ago. We had also heard of instances where people even asked the sense in drafting individuals instead of teams within a story perspective, meaning, why did they draft Mace and not T-Bar with him and then split them after? And we were just told that it wasn't that important. And when we asked if it'd be followed up, as of last week, we're told that hadn't been determined as of yet. There were also teams that found out on social media that they would be split up and had no idea ahead of time. Some happy news, though. I can't remember if I mentioned this on last week's show, so to hell with it. The pay-per-view schedule got released last week. A lot of WWE wrestlers very happy about that. Saturday shows, lots of people really happy about those. It looks like May, June are the main ones that we'll be doing Sunday, maybe Labor Day weekend, but we're heading towards Saturdays, and I'm personally very excited about that. It's a good shift for me personally, and a lot of the wrestlers I spoke to are very happy about that as well. A lot of the wrestlers are NFL fans, and they get to watch more football, which is cool as well. There are two Saudi Arabia shows planned. As Fightful had reported months ago, there are like up to 6 to 8 stadium shows planned for next year, so they're looking to make that like a big destination type of thing. Indy Hartwell, she told us that the ladder match was her first match involving weapons. She didn't get a script for the Christmas skits with The Way, and they had a lot of input on the segments that aired. She found out the day before she wrestled Shayna Baszler on Raw in 2020 that she'd be coming in, and the same thing happened with her for her dark matches on SmackDown, as she said that she was replacing somebody who was injured a few months ago. And they didn't have plans for her to be drafted. She wasn't expecting to be drafted as well. But her dream match at the moment is a triple threat with Bayley and Sasha Banks. Let's hit you guys with some WWE producer news before we get into AEW news. Well, kind of AEW news with Bryan Danielson. SmackDown producers for October 22nd. Mansoor and Ali produced by D-Von. Sean Daivari produced Nakamura and Corbin. Drew McIntyre versus Sami Zayn produced by Jamie Noble. There was a change to the Hit Row match. It was supposed to be Jinder Mahal and Shanky against them. Top Dollar are listed as faces right now. Hit Row are listed as faces. Top Dollar was not listed for the match originally. And then that was changed. But that was produced by Shane Helms and Steve Corino, as well as the King Woods segment that was produced by Helms. Then the following Monday, the Top Contender match and the Tag Title match were produced by Devon Dudley and Abyss. Tyson Kidd produced Becky Lynch's promo. Daivari produced Bearcat Lee versus Cedric Alexander. You had Jamie Noble and Jason Jordan producing that amazing ladder match last week. Holy crap on Raw. That main event is so good. Go out of your way to watch it. Also, I forgot to mention the controversial Becky Lynch, Charlotte Flair, Sonya Deville segment was produced by Adam Pearce and Molly Holly. This past week's SmackDown, Tyson Kidd and Molly Holly listed as producing the Charlotte Flair segment with Shotzi Blackheart and the match. Drew McIntyre and Mustafa Ali. How about this one? Produced by Jamie Noble and Jimmy Wang Yang. Jimmy Wang Yang getting a tryout. And Jimmy Wang Yang and Jamie Noble have a bit of history together. I know plenty of you weren't watching wrestling 20, 21 years ago, but they actually broke into WCW together as the Young Dragons, which is very, very cool. Speaking of very cool, Petey Williams worked with Pat Buck in producing Naomi versus Shayna Baszler. Petey Williams also getting a tryout. I spoke to a lot of people backstage who were excited about Williams and Jimmy Wang Yang being there. And then Devon Dudley listed as a co-producer in the tag team main event between Usos and New Day. So we had a story on Bryan Danielson heading to AEW. I've been asking around for the last couple of months, like, how did his last few months go? How did his last 6 months go? Obviously, he was not planned to win the Royal Rumble. He was not planned to be added to WrestleMania, but both of those happened. Now, WWE sources tell us they were well aware that Bryan Danielson's deal was coming up. What was booked and spoke highly of Bryan Danielson's professionalism and working with Roman Reigns on his way out. Now, I have to say, they knew his deal was coming up because, quite frankly, they forgot a couple were coming up at one point, and that's no longer an issue. It wasn't a major issue back then either, but one source said, quote, "Bryan handled things so well that a lot of people didn't even think he was leaving or taking any time off. We couldn't have asked for more." And there was never really any serious consideration to him winning the Royal Rumble at that point. They knew who they wanted to win. WWE sources said that they feel the door is open for a potential return and that he left on very good terms. Now, I had people saying, well, you know, it's open for everybody. No. Did you hear the response to Alberto Del Rio? It's closed. I don't think it's open for Ryback at this point either. I think it's pretty well closed there. There's plenty of people that I don't think it's open for. Another thing that I asked about, and I specifically asked about this because I remembered the teases. There was a tease of Kevin Owens and Bryan Danielson as a tag team in late 2020 where Kevin Owens said, you know, I've done a lot of things in WWE, but I've never been a tag team champion. Maybe we could be a team. I was told that it was pitched, but there were never any real firm plans for the two as a duo on SmackDown. So that was just one of those things where it was hinted at, but it never got followed up on, and I always kind of wondered, like, what the hell was going on there. So last week's AEW Dynamite featured some costumes that went over really well. There was a Ghostbusters-themed main event with the Elite, and it was revealed afterwards that Mikey Ruckus had to put together a song on short notice. So when I saw that, I was like, there's got to be a reason for that. They usually would plan for something like that. They wouldn't usually have a guy put together a theme on that short notice, right? So I asked around backstage, and this was how it was supposed to happen a way different way. And we saw a bit of it on Being the Elite. It was a Squid Game themed episode. And we were told that was supposed to make air. Some of the elements were supposed to make air for Dynamite, but TNT got wind of it, or Warner Media, and put a stop to it. One source indicated they didn't feel as if TNT understood how much of a parody that this was planned to be, but that there was no heat in relation to it. It seems to me like a miscommunication, but that's my assumption. That's not me reporting anything there, but AEW had planned to do the Squid Game thing in the main event of Dynamite. It didn't happen. They had to rush and do a song for the Ghostbusters thing. And to me, happy accident. You had the Stay Puffed reveal. That worked out really, really great, and how ridiculous it was. Because who knows, like, maybe they would have had something Squid Game related, but I think the ridiculous nature of having Hangman pull that Stay Puffed thing off was just amazing. It was amazing. Lots of MLW releases. Beastman, Buku Dao, and Leo Bryan were all announced as being released last week by MLW. In addition, Jordan Oliver and Mance Warner both released. Mance Warner had been trying to procure his release for quite some time and then got a little verbal when word came out that this is probably all the releases. So he was also released, and probably a good move, because what did MLW stand to gain by keeping him under contract when he didn't want to be there? Those contracts are not robust in that sense, but I was told that some of these releases were done to, because they, one, they're reducing the number of matches during the tapings, and two, to bring in new talent. Tom Lawlor also confirmed a report that his deal has expired with MLW, and he thanked them very much. In addition, they are bringing in Enzo to MLW. Gnarls Garvin and Joe Dombrowski have both signed with MLW as well, and I'm told that they're planning on bringing in some more new talent. Speaking of bringing in new talent, I've been told that Impact is either finalized or is closing in on the Lady Frost signing, as well as the public news that Speedball Mike Bailey has signed with Impact Wrestling. Incredible news. Injury updates, man, some unfortunate news. Within minutes of one another at the same show, Danhausen, after it was revealed that his ROH deal would be up, and Mance Warner, after he revealed he'd be getting his release, both had pretty bad ankle, foot, leg injuries. Oh, man, that's a bummer. That's such a bummer. They're both probably going to be sidelined for months. And Kota Ibushi dislocated his shoulder, of course. We're monitoring that, of course. Man, it's a bummer to hear all this stuff, but I don't think we've had any returns of late. But we did remove some from the injury report due to inactivity if they've been gone for a couple years, et cetera, et cetera. Hoping they all heal up. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.